Hi, I'm Flo from Progressive. Being a baseball fanatic like me can be stressful. It's not all sports points and touchdowns. So Progressive is going to help you take your mind off your team for a moment. Instead of thinking about how they missed that goal point score, think about the Name Your Price tool from Progressive letting you choose coverage options based on your budget. Unlike your team that missed the end zone net area. Well, anyway, hope this distraction about Progressive's Name Your Price tool was helpful. It sure kept me from thinking about all those penalty balls. Yay, sports!
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. My rules are fatality. This is reality. Flash torch the city dead. White beans and infrared. The parchment of your family member. Things that you can't remember. Darkness can cook it a day. Crime here would never pay. Rapists get caught down. Criminals get brought down. Even though we live wrong, thank God we stay strong. Life here been real long. Too much been going on. Pain and drama is the game. Angry people feel ashamed. Other people would be blamed. Women who can't shut up. Boyfriend just beat them up. Crackheads get fucked up. Little kids get muddled up. Life in a single. Many are bilingual. Men stay with enemy. God tell me what you see. Money never right for me. Evil after my family. Oh Lord, can you help me? Turn into my enemy. How long will I stay strong? Probably not that much long. But even though we live wrong,
yo, fuck the system. Let's reboot
even
this
though
bitch.
We live wrong.
Get where we belong before you out this bitch. Technology advancements like a mothership. Got these niggas steady tripping on some other shit. Fuck the system. Let's reboot this bitch. Get where we belong before you out this bitch. Technology advancements like a mothership. Got these niggas steady tripping on some other shit.
You know who it is. Welcome to the Mic Drop Podcast. I am your host, Delvin Cox. And with me is my brother, I Am Vision. Say what's up, brother.
What's up, everybody? How y'all doing out there? So what's been going on with you, man?
No, I think we need to start about what's been going on with you, man. Everybody has heard from you in a long time. I know people were wondering what's going on with Vision. How's everything going with them? Just give them an update. Let them know what the hell happened. You ain't got to get into detail, but just let them know what's going on.
A lot of personal stuff right now. But for the most part, just dealing with life. Obstacles,
yeah.
And the things that it throws at you, health and otherwise.
But is everything getting better now? I think that's what most people are wondering. Is it getting better, or are we going to be more consistent with this? And how's your health?
I mean, my health is my health. I really don't want to talk too much about it. But as far as everything that's been put in motion prior to it, while I have the strength to do everything I need to do, I will do it. That's the best way for me to put it.
I think that's the best way you can put it. Without getting into too many details about it, that's the best way you possibly can put it.
You know, the days you got the strength to do things, then you do things. The days you don't, you don't.
Well said. Well, since we're on the health topic, let's talk about the death of Prodigy.
Yeah, that didn't help my mood.
Yeah, man. Mobb Deep is such a cornerstone, not in hip hop, man. So when the news came out that he passed, and this is one of the cool things I always found out about Twitter is the fact that you get messages and stuff like that in real time. Like the news hadn't reported it yet or anything like that. It literally was reported by, I forgot what DJ it was. He sent out a tweet saying that Yeah, nah, it's just sort of a message that Prodigy just passed. And so, like, people were, like, trying to fact-check it. And, like, you know, you got people like Joe Budden, I guess he already had fact-checked it. He sent his messages out, like, yeah, he just said, like, Prodigy just died. Like, and it's crazy that this is starting to spread like wildfire. You're seeing it as it happens where people are literally finding out that this legend has basically just passed away. So how did you first hear about the news of Prodigy?
Aside from you, one of my other co-workers at work, he's a hip-hop head too. And he's from New York. So he probably got it like boom, boom, you know, because like he still got ties back up home. So me and him was talking about it at work. And then you told me. So, you know, that's how I found out. But the way I feel about it is the same way I did when Fife Dawg died. Tribe Called Quest is an iconic hip hop group that spans back to something like, I guess, the ending of the civil rights era, where hip hop had that impact and it was about black culture and things of that sort. So losing him and losing Prodigy, because I remember him, you know, I remember Mobb Deep from my childhood. That was my ball playing music, along with Onyx and things of that sort. So I know everybody knows that Shook One's first verse. Everybody should know that word for word. Everybody should know Survival of the Fittest word for word. If you're a real Mobb Deep fan, like, these were anthem like tracks. So I think as far as for the hip hop hardcore, because that was the beginning of hardcore, Mobb Deep, groups like that, cats that rap like that, that was the beginning of hardcore rap that paved the way for what y'all call trap music today.
Yeah, well, it kind of did, because, you know,
hardcore is no, trap is no more than a more simple version of hardcore, because hardcore is hardcore, like, that's hardcore, you know.
It's that, like, the best way to describe it is the fact that people like Mobb Deep, Nas, they came and brought the streets to a different light, in the sense where they would talk about hustlers in the streets, in a sense where, like, you know, trap music is kind of like the down south version, like Jeezy and T.I., who kind of personify, who are kind of, if you want to basically break it down to layman's terms, Jeezy and T.I. are kind of the Nas and Mobb Deep of the South, in a sense. Trap music alive down here. Whereas Mobb Deep, Nas, Capone Noriega was showing the street life of New York and showing that kind of hustling life. Yeah.
That's what they called it, hardcore.
Yeah, hardcore rap.
Biggie was hardcore. Like, all of this was considered hardcore hip hop.
Yeah, man. So how do you think going forward it's going to affect the hip hop community? Because it's a really big blow.
It's a really big blow.
This is literally one of the legends. Yes, this is really one of the legends.
But if you look at it and the way things have transitioned, the deaths of many legends have not made much of an impact in the scene, except for the fact that lyrical creativity, musical creativity, none of the creativity matches the creativity of the legends. The creative process is a process. You don't just write a song, make a beat, and it's a hit. The creation of a song, of a track, of a movie piece, of anything a creator makes, is a process. When I used to write, I always feel that what I write hits harder than what I type. So, with that being said, it's a different process. I got into typing because of the smartphones. And when you're in the studio, it's a lot less hectic and it's easier to put your phone on airplane mode and type your lyrics in your notepad and read it from that. But the thing with that is, it's not saying you can't write good material, because if you're good, you're good. But for some people, it's all about the process. We grew up in the analog era where you had an MPC. You had all this external stuff to make beats. It wasn't just one thing. It wasn't just a beat machine. It wasn't just a program. So I learned how to use analog synths, analog, all types of equipment, to the point where I knew what kind of day I had or vibe I had. When I got behind my keyboard or my MPC or whatever, I knew what kind of composition I was going to make, because I was familiar with my process. When things changed, you know, lifestyle changed and things got hard and I had to sell equipment, then I had to learn how to be a producer on the go with just a MacBook or just a computer. So I had to learn how to use software and things of that sort. So I still make good stuff, but I don't feel it's as soulful as what I made on analog, because it's the process. And a lot of artists, a lot of creators in this industry don't understand creative process is important. When you lose creative process, that's when you change up, as they say, or you end up commercialized, as they say, because you lost your way with your process that really made your stuff genuine. So I wouldn't say that Jeezy and T.I. are the such and such of the South. I mean, Jeezy and T.I. are Jeezy and T.I. You know, it's just hardcore talked about the streets. The struggle of the streets. Trap don't talk about the streets. Trap glorifies certain idioms, merchandise, materialism, violence. Like, if you really listen to trap broke down to like hardcore may talk about the same things, but it came from a whole different perspective. And it's just not up in the Northeast. Hardcore was also considered in the West Coast, the Midwest, worldwide. Hardcore hip hop was considered hardcore hip hop. That is a genre. This is something I had to study in school. Trap will only become a genre because of certain iconic trap rappers. Now, like T.I., yeah, you could say he's trap because that's what he say. But before he was trap, T.I. was hardcore. Before this trap became trap, he was hardcore. Same with Ludacris. Ludacris is lyrical hardcore. These are their genres. You could say hip hop, but hip hop is just a main title with a lot of subtitles. Because every genre in hip hop isn't just hip hop. You got soulful hip hop. You got neo hip hop. You got trip hop hip hop. Acid hip hop. Like, it's different genres of hip hop, not just hip hop. So like, trap to me, I give it the respect that it is a genre of its own, but I can't put that in the league of hardcore. But hardcore gave it its ground, because trap does talk about the streets, but in a different perspective. It glorifies living under certain conditions. Well, hardcore was like, nigga, we do this just because we ain't got no other way. See, like, it's a different message. If you listen to Mobb Deep, they telling you, like, coming up where we at, there is no other way. If you've been to Queensbridge, I've been there. If you've been to Brooklyn, to Flatbush, to Marcy, all of that in them areas, I've been there. They ain't see no better way, man. So they hungry. Mobb Deep, Nas, Core Mega. I mean, the list goes on and on. These guys are hungry. So when they DMX, they hardcore is with intent. It's telling you, like, yo, the circumstances made me like this. Trap, I got bitches. Who cares, nigga? What are you, like, me personally? I cannot respect trap, but I give it its respect, because it, at the end of the day, it's music. And some trap songs are good. Some of them have messages that I can say they're not trap, they're hardcore. But when you're glorifying the negative, that's what trap is. It's glorifying the negative.
Then that leads me to another question then. Can you be a hardcore trap artist? Because that's what I believe T.I. and G exactly are.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting
it. They fall more into that lane.
Now, that
say about trap artists,
that what you just did was you just came up with another genre that makes sense, because that is one I can respect. Because the, and then you name two people who really fit that genre.
In the moment.
Because they both started off before this trap shit became trap. They both were considered Southern hip hop and hardcore. So saying hardcore trap for them too, I can accept that, because they may talk, they don't necessarily glorify things. They just basically come from a what I did to get where I'm at, and now I'm a boss, and I'm gonna talk about my boss status, which is no more than what Jay-Z do, because that's what Jay-Z do. Yeah. When people don't listen to him mentioning these Italians in the songs, like, you think these are just lyrics? Like, understand how this man got where he's at. And he was a trapper. If anybody didn't realize, like, he came in the game with 300 grand. Like, he came in the game with bread off street money. So, yeah, he was a trapper, a hustler, whatever you want to derive it as today. But he's considered hardcore. But he could even be considered hardcore trap.
Yeah. See, I think the problem is that the word trap base is so wide, because people put, you can put Little John in trap music. You can put
That's crump.
D4L. Yeah, but they put it in there. They call it that, kind of put it in that mix.
And see, that's
the thing about it is
that's stupid, because that's not what that is.
Yeah, it's not. But you know, the stereotype is that all Southern music is trap music, which is blatantly not true. Wow. You know, music from the South is so diverse. You got Outkast, you got Goody Mob, you got yourself, you got so many versatile artists. But when people think of the South, they think of kind of like they think of Crunk, they think of Future, they think of kind of like hardcore street party music almost, which is not necessarily the facts.
Yeah, true. That's very true.
All right, let's get back into Mob Deep. I want to get too off Mob.
But saying all of that was why I'm also saying that. See, Fife Dawg passed. Yeah. What difference did that make in the hip hop scene, as far as in today's world? Not much. And he's a legend of a legendary duo. Not much. And he's not hardcore. You know, Tribe was more lyrical, stuff like that, cultural, colorful. Mobb Deep being more of something that's closely related to the artist today, will it be an impact of loss to those of the older generation? To those of the older generation, yeah, it will be. To the younger generation, dude, half them cats, I'm at work with young people, yo. They don't even know who he is.
I think it'll be a bigger impact in a sense, because no offense to Fife Dawg whatsoever, because Fife Dawg was an incredible artist. But when people think of Tribe, they usually think of Q-Tip, because Q-Tip was the one that was more out there, unfortunately. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it comes when you think of Mobb Deep, you more or less think of Prodigy. You think of Havoc for his beats. You know, Havoc was a dope lyricist. People usually go towards Prodigy when it comes to lyrics. And have it towards the beat.
See, here's the funny thing. Like, people I spoke to since his death, a lot of people think about them both equally. Because Prodigy, in my opinion, in his latter part of the career before the unfortunate, you know, news that happened this week, the beginning of the careers of Mobb Deep, it was always Prodigy. Like, Prodigy was that dude. Coming towards what people would consider their glory years, Havoc took it. He always had it on beats, but then lyrically, I heard Havoc on a lot of stuff, and he became my favorite because he was crushing shit. But, you know, Prodigy had other things going on, obviously. But Havoc took it. I don't see Mobb Deep one or the other, because to me, that Mobb Deep was them both.
Yeah, that is very true.
They were like that perfect tag team in wrestling. They would have, and they've been together all their life, literally. That is what you want to see. That's more than a group, and that's more than music. That's like brotherhood right there. Till death do them part. They're no longer a group.
And yeah, it's sad. It's heartbreaking, to say the least, you know. And in terms of Prodigy, I think my opinion about him is I think he peaked lyrically at HNIC. That album was incredible.
Yeah.
That's the one I always look at and say, that is what a Prodigy solo career could look like. Because it was so great. I think a lot of people look back at that album and love that album. It's a classic.
Yeah. It is. Hell on Earth is a classic, too.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. They have so many classics in terms of, like, their music, you know. And they've made so many moves, you know, from the beef with Jay-Z to, you know, the fact that they were one of the few cats who was actually not afraid to go at Tupac.
Yeah, I remember that beef.
Yeah, so, you know, it's... we're losing a piece of hip-hop history. And I think, like I said, like you said earlier, these younger cats ain't gonna get it. I think our older generation feeling it, but these young cats, like, probably like who? Okay, well, oh well, that's that guy from this. But I think, you know, you have to always...
yeah, pretty much.
Go back in history and respect the ones that were before you. And he's one of those guys you have to do that with. Also, going into that, let's go into the fact that before we go on, I was going to talk about the fact that he had sickle cell. But before we go into that, favorite Mobb Deep albums, what you got?
Let's see. I was playing a lot of stuff this week. I'm actually gonna go to my playlist so I can what's most played.
Let me think some of the ones that I can think of off the top of my head as some of my favorites. Definitely HNIC. That's a great album. Keep It Thorough. Shook Ones, of course. It's so many Mobb Deep albums you can think about. I'm trying to not forget any. Quiet Storm, of course. Everybody loves Quiet Storm. Man, album. I'm trying to think of the name of it. That was so great that I recommend everybody check out. Let me try to find the name of it. I think it's American Nightmare. Yeah, it's America's Nightmare. That was such a great album. It had Win or Lose on it, Flood the Block. So many great songs on it, man. I highly recommend that Mobb Deep album. Infamy was a great album. It was so many great Mobb Deep albums. I don't know. Anytime you can chime in, Vision, let me know which ones you can think of.
This shit here, man. All right.
Let's get back into it. What's some of your favorite Mobb Deep albums? I named some of mine just now, so give me some of your favorite Mobb Deep albums, favorite Mobb Deep songs.
Damn, I got to go back through this playlist. All right.
We ain't got to go too far back in. Just name some off the top of your head.
Well, there's...
Shook Ones, of course.
You said what?
Shook Ones, of course.
Yeah, that goes without saying. Survival of the Illest goes without saying. I mean, Fittest. Survival of the Fittest. Peer Pressure. Temperature Rising. I like my favorite album beside the HNIC album was, and it was a pivotal album to me because it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was when I was going in the military. The one that, let me make sure I'm right.
Infamy?
No. Was it Infamy?
It's Infamy, American Nightmare. I think it's Murder Music is one called.
I think it was Murder Music. I think it was Murder Music, because it was a Where Your Heart At. Yeah, Murder Music, because that's the one from when I joined the military when I was going in, because I used to play Where Your Heart At for me and my first love, because I used to be like, damn, man, I can't believe we doing this shit. We going into service. So, like, freaking Mobb Deep was that monumental album along with Nas that was that dropped around that time frame. Those two albums and Common, like Chocolate for Water. Those three albums. Those three albums were the albums that got me through basic training and like kind of set the tone of my military career. Murder Music, like Chocolate for Water, and whatever album that was that Nas dropped during that period, like 98 going into 2000 before I left for the military.
Oh, correct. That's I Am.
Okay, yeah. Those were my three albums, man. I went to Europe. I went all over the world with them three albums. They got me through so much.
Definitely, man. All right, final thoughts on Prodigy. Mine is great artist, legend, RIP. It's tragedy what happened to him, you know. But it also should be a lesson to everybody, you know, just take care of yourself health-wise. You know, he died of sickle cell, essentially. He had it his whole life. It was something that he had to live with. He raps about it in his songs all the time, you know. It's sad. It's rough. But it's a note to us all the time that we got to take care of ourselves, because you never know what can happen. You never know when tomorrow could be our last day.
Yeah. My final thoughts, man, just rest in peace to a legend. Left a lot of good creativity, man. Left a lot of framework. Hopefully the younger generation can follow. To add to the sickle cell thing, my brother and I, we both have a friend that's, well, he's really close to my brother because, you know, they were isolated together in a, you know, institution or whatever. But his girl died of sickle cell, if I'm not mistaken, last year. And he was here and got the call from the kids that mama fell out the bed. And when he got there, she was dead. But, you know, sickle cell killed her. She was young. So experiencing that just through that chain with my brother and with, you know, our friend, that had me just thinking like, wow, Prodigy went so long, because it's not easy to live a long life with sickle cell. That's a very serious disease. It affects some very serious things in the body. So, you know, and some of the things that I'm dealing with, it's not sickle cell related or nothing like that, but stress, anger, things like that, that things that you hold in can also create health circumstances. You know, this is where cancers and tumors come from. Bad dieting, not having proper circulation in your body, and how you deal with anger and stress, you know, things like that. So a lot of times superstars fade from the spotlight, like Missy and a few others. And a lot of people don't even know, like, you thinking they fell off. Nah, they got to deal with real life. What you see in that camera, what you hear on wax, that person ain't immortal. At the end of the day, they got to live, breathe, eat, you know, go to the bathroom and everything just as you do. In other words, they're human just like you. So when people fade from the spotlight, it doesn't mean that they faded, but they have to gracefully bow out and deal with their situation before they can come back and appear to you a certain way. And that's just the reality of this business. People look at it so much like an industry that because you see people on TV for so many years or hear people doing, you don't, these people are, they could be healthy, you know, they could be really healthy that they're able to do that. You know, and they don't have to step back from the scene. Like, I can't really recall Jay-Z ever having to step back for anything health related, but I can recall Lil Wayne, who's younger than him, doing that. And what does that show you? The difference in how you take care of yourself, getting massages, things like that, doing detoxes, like getting a full body massage does release toxins out your body. Stress pockets become tumors, become cancers, they become issues. It's not just a stress pocket, because you know your stress can kill you. That is real. So you know how to manage your stress levels, know how to balance life, know how to enjoy life, and know how to not dwell in angry moments for too long. And for anybody's channeling you to be angry, you let them be angry on their own. Let them kill themselves. You chill. Don't feed that energy. Like, that's what I'm learning. Even in a relationship, if you with a significant other and they seem bent on arguments and bent on this, that, and the third, chill. Then everybody be quick to be like, it's psychology. Well, man, fuck psychology. Just chill, man. Because feeding any anger, feeding any stress is not good for within you. Don't even worry about the other person, because if they were worried about you, they'd be thinking about themselves too and not trying to argue or not trying to take things to the next level. So just chill. And if they consistent on keep doing it, let them go. Because that's a cancer.
Well, I couldn't have said any better than that. All right, let's get on to the next topic. I want to talk about the Bill Cosby trial and the results of the trial. Did you hear about this already? You probably know already.
No, man. I work a lot, man.
Okay, the trial already over with. And it ended in a hung jury. For those who don't know, a hung jury is basically like, he's not guilty. As a far, basically, charges basically are somewhat dropped. They're going to have to retry the trial all over again, essentially.
Yeah, that's all a hung jury is, a scab. It basically means, look, we can't get you now, but we're going to reopen this shit a later time and see if we can get you there. And we may not get you there, but then we're going to reopen it again and see if we can get you after that. Like, that's all a hung jury means. They have the freedom to keep coming back with new evidence. With new evidence. They can make your life a living hell. Basically, they're trying to make you broke from court fees and court costs.
It's a very interesting outcome for the trial itself, because it's not a win or a loss. And not only that, people are looking at it like, oh, well, he got away with it. He didn't get away with nothing. Just like you just said, that means they can keep coming at him for this case if they choose to.
Think about it. You can't get him on any lawsuit, so you can't make him lose any money the hard way. So the best way to do it is, hey, we found new evidence, spend it in court costs. He's still losing money, because that shit ain't getting covered for free. He still got to pay for that.
He's still losing money. He's still losing time. And this guy is really old. It's not like he has that much time left in his life.
And his royalties has already been fucked with, because his show has been taken off of cable access.
Yeah. So...
So now the royalty checks are affected.
Yeah, so he's not getting away with nothing, to say the least. It's not like he's just getting off.
Yep.
Okay, one of the things I want to talk about is the fact what one of the jurors said, because the jury list of them came out, and I think it was 11-2 or something like that, voted not guilty, while the other 11 voted guilty. And one of the people who voted not guilty, stated that there's no stained garment, no smoking gun, nothing. That's why he wasn't essentially convinced that Cosby did it. He said she was well coached. But let's face it, she went up to his house with a bare midriff and incense and bath salts. What the heck? So that's one of the main arguments about this case, that she kind of went there knowing what was up. So what are your thoughts on that?
Man, he's a scapegoat for a bigger target.
Yeah. My whole thing about this whole situation is this, and I think I said it on one of the early episodes we did, rape is such a hard thing to prove, especially 15, 20 years later. And the thing about rape is the fact that whether you're guilty of it or not, if you get accused of rape, it's going to ruin your life. Because even if you're not guilty, people are going to think you're guilty.
Well.
So it's such a hard thing to bring at somebody's table and attention, whether you believe they're guilty or not, whether you believe Bill Cosby's guilty or not. Into any situation like this, accusing somebody of rape, you have to be certain. When you're bringing this case to trial, you have to be certain. You have to have definitive proof of it, because if it comes out, this happens all the time, and this is what people don't understand. Black guy gets sentenced 20 years in prison, does 19 of those 20 years. Then evidence comes out that, oh, he really didn't rape this girl. So this man just lost 20 years of his fucking life because a girl lied or was had mistaken identity. Does anybody feel sorry for that man?
Nope.
And it happens all the time. And that's the thing I think gets lost on a lot of people. I'm not necessarily using this example to say Bill Cosby's a person of mistaken identity. That's not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm saying is people need to be more aware that these things happen. That you just can't, just because a person is accused of rape doesn't necessarily mean they did it. If they did do it, they're a piece of shit. They deserve everything they get. But you can't just go out there and accuse people of rape and just literally destroy their lives. This happens all the time. Too many times for that. One person who gets found guilty of rape and spends most of their life in prison who didn't do it is a crime against everybody. And people need to understand that, that this is something that can't go on. As for Bill Cosby, his case is a little different because he has essentially 30 people accused of this heinous act. And there's so many questions that are really unanswered. And you know, he admitted to the Quaalude things, giving girls Quaaludes, but we don't know whether they wanted this or not.
Yeah. Because one thing I learned being in this industry, a lot of people have different vices for whatever reason they make their decisions. Some people use these vices to make their decisions. You might do a certain drug to go and take it up the ass to get a deal. I don't know, you know, but this is a weird industry. A lot of derogatory, demoralizing things can happen in this industry if you're that kind of person that will compromise yourself for a career. So it's no telling. And at the end of the day, like you said, 15, 20 years later, like, so what made you come forward now? Because the money stopped? Because it was proof that money was exchanged to certain people. So the money stopped and now you've been raped. Really. And that's what makes it hard for me to look at these rape cases, especially when they get to this magnitude. On a lower magnitude, rape is rape. On this magnitude, rape is rape, but then there's a question mark. Because it's like you find out somebody was being paid to be quiet, and then suddenly you're not being paid. So now, hey, I was raped too. Really? So you got raped? Did you plan to get raped for money? Like, what is this? This is how my mind's thinking, because these people make allegations, and then more of the story. You find out Cosby was paying X amount of dollars to this person, X amount of dollars to this person, X amount of dollars to this person. And I guess his wife got tired of that shit, because there's no way this woman ain't know what this nigga was doing. That she seized up all everything with the money and was like, look, this shit stops. And now that X, 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 and such ain't getting their money, hey, we all been raped. And you make a case out of this. Only in America can you do something like that, where people are being paid or bribed, and when their bribe stops, they can create a case and ruin somebody else's life with nothing happening to them. Not saying that they weren't raped or not, but looking at it from that perspective, can you really say they were raped? If you know this industry and you know what groupies are and you know how people get down in this industry, and you know the ins and outs of this industry. Cosby was stupid, first of all, because nigga, you in the industry, so you should have knew how it worked. But then now you got to look at them. You, 9 times out of 10, y'all groupies. Not, they can say whatever. Oh, this one was a nurse. This one was a respect. You say whatever you need to say to sway the masses to feel how you want them to feel. This is the way media works. So knowing that, how can I sit here and say, okay, so she's a nurse? That don't mean she ain't no goddamn gold digger. That don't mean she don't be going hopping around on dicks, just like Cosby's a whole ass nigga hopping around at different women. Married man hopping around at different women. So I mean, the game comes with some messed up it comes with a messed up scene and messed up characters. You got to understand this industry, and understanding this industry is why people like me and you won't necessarily fall succumb to a lot of the bullshit, because we've seen it, we've been there, and we didn't do that, but we've been there where we could have done that. So we know what the game has to offer. So now I look at this case like these women who all met Cosby met him in a certain environment, in a certain arena. So in other words, you were fans, 9 times out of 10, you don't want to admit it, but you groupie hoes too. He offers you something to relax so you can enjoy the evening. And the way he presented it, I'm pretty sure they was like, fuck it, I'm with it, nigga. We can do coke, we can do whatever. I've been in this realm. So I look at the case from a different eye. The average citizen gonna look at Cosby like, oh, he's such a demoralizing man. He's trash. You don't know the industry he's in. These women ain't all innocent. And I said, these women ain't all innocent. Some may be, but not every last one of them are innocent.
Yeah, let's be clear about that. What he's saying is, Cosby very well may have raped plenty of these women.
Oh, yeah.
There are some out there who are pieces of shit. It's just like, well, you can fuck me, but then I'm going to basically try to get as much money out of you as I can.
And it ain't saying that they are just pieces of shit, because Cosby's a piece of shit.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
So please don't knock that. Don't think I'm going at one without the other. Cosby is a demoralizing jackass. He's a married man who had a lot of children who fucked up bad. He's a whole ass nigga.
And even more than that, you gotta be completely honest that he kind of was this guy who portrayed himself as this virtuosist person.
Yeah.
And he was not that whatsoever.
Nowhere near it. Straight wolf in sheep's clothing.
Yeah, he was a fraud. So even if you want to take out all the rape allegations and everything like that.
Me personally, I was a diehard Cosby fan. I looked forward to seeing that show. I liked Different World, which was a spinoff. Like, I liked everything he did. So for him to do this, I can't look at none of that no more. Because that ain't the man that made that show. And if that is the man that made that show, then damn. People can lie to that magnitude, then wow. Wow. Should you really have a hero or icon in America?
Yeah, man. I said, best case scenario, he's a fraud. Worst case scenario, he's a rapist and a fraud. Either way, he is a fucking fraud.
Yeah.
Everything that he claimed that he stood for, he really didn't stand for.
He's Trump. He's a black Trump.
Yeah, in so many words, he's a fucking fraud. And that's the thing that people are kind of not catching the point of.
They really not. And then on top of that, don't be so focused on Cosby and his fuck up in his life and Trump and his fuck up that you ain't paying attention to the death tolls that's rising from different incidents happening worldwide. Because the media is real good for throwing smoke and mirrors to distract you from what's really going on. So
just look at what's going on in France. Every week is another story about something happening.
Exactly. So don't be so caught up on all of this bullshit. Cosby is a person just like you that got problems. You saw it on the news. Live your life. Don't be focused on Cosby so much that you don't see that bullet coming from a twisted cop.
Yeah.
Pay attention to the news for real, not the news that ain't for real.
Yeah, because new day, new black person gets shot. That's what the fuck been going on lately, so.
I'm telling you. You see how they doing this thing with the boy that got killed by that cop? And then why did the cop have to shoot him so many damn times? But now they want to resurrect the footage of that. You see what the media is doing? Like, they will not let old shit die. So I'm hoping that people are paying attention, that what they are trying to do is incite something. Don't know what, but opening up old shit from a year, 2 years ago with new footage, there ain't nothing new about that footage. You motherfuckers been had it. What are you up to? So I'm just hoping people ain't stupid enough to fall for whatever it is they up to, because they're stirring up something. And then you see the footage, and there's no way you saw the footage and didn't cringe. That the cop shot that dude every bit of like over 5-6 times, man, from point blank range.
the Philando Castillo case.
Yeah, like every bit of four, like five times or more he hit this dude from point blank range. Like, really? You point blank and you an officer of the law that's trained. Where I'm from in the military, they say one shot, one kill. You point blank range. You didn't do the damage with one shot the first time.
And it's crazy because even his pilot was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, that's excessive force. That's beyond excessive force. Point
blank. And let me say this. Yeah, these pieces of shit cops are at fault. But we got to start holding these jurors accountable for this shit. Too many of these cops are getting off. Too many of these fucking dumbass jurors are letting these cops get away with murder. So is it really the cops or is it these people who keep letting these cops get away?
And something else, too, that I think Michael Bazin said that I kind of agree with. Because if you look at the footage, you hear him saying he has his gun. Like, he's letting the cop know about the gun. Now, here's what I would have done, thinking like Michael Bazin. Look, I'd have my hands out the window. There's a gun in my car. I have papers for it. Officer, I would feel more comfortable if you did something that made you feel safe and, like, put my hands in whatever position you need me to be in. Let me get out the car and stand in the back so that you may go ahead and get the gun and see the paperwork.
Because in the video, the crazy thing about the video is the cop tells him to get his ID.
And his ID must be with the gun. So, but what he's telling him is I have to get to, like, he's telling him. So that's what I would have did. You want my ID, so you don't, so there's no discrepancy. I don't mind you going in my wallet. Put the handcuffs on me. Let me go to the back of the car. Not even put the handcuffs, but something to make them feel safe. So they didn't got to do all that crazy shit. Because his ID had to been by the gun. But me personally, if I got my gun with me and I got papers, I'm going to ride a certain way. I'm going to keep, I'm going to keep the gun itself in the trunk. And I'll keep, like, the clip in the gov compartment box. Something like that. Because when I was out of state, you had to ride separate. You had to ride with your piece separate. It couldn't be put together. So I'm pretty sure it should be the same here. I'm not sure.
I think it is.
But that's how I used to. I used to have the hammer in the back, and I have my clip inside with me. So that way my gun is not put together and it's separated. You cannot say I'm a threat to anybody.
Yeah, man.
So, you know, I agree with Michael Bazin. African Americans need to not be so emotional because we're already emotional. But in dealing with these cops, you got to keep a level head, keep a balanced head, but you got to be thinking two steps ahead of the cop for you to leave this situation safely. And I'm telling you from experience, because I've been pulled over in a lot of different states. I've dealt with Baltimore police when there was a race thing going on up there. I've dealt with Virginia police. I've dealt with Texas minor, like Georgia police. Like, I've dealt with different police in different states. And I've always been in compliance. I've always found a way to make them feel less threatened, even if it was an anal retentive cop. You make somebody laugh, you ease a lot of tension. Because at the end of the day, that's a person just like you. They just got a badge. And your response to what is going on determines their response, even if it's an asshole. If the asshole is being a dick and you having a bad day and you decide to be a dick back, it's not going to go good for you. Like, it's not going to go good for you. You have to learn to be the bigger person. And something that life has always taught me in various situations, I've always had to be the bigger person, you know, in relationships and everything. And it gets very tiring. It's very demanding and it sucks. But in the end, you being the bigger person is more rewarding no matter how the outcome is, because it's like a character growth, a character achievement. If it was a video game, it's like a power up. It's more wisdom to your strength. It adds something to you because you're the bigger person. It puts you in a position of power, but on a positive note.
Well said, brother. Well said. Any more final thoughts on this whole shooting shit?
Nah, not really.
Yeah, I feel the same way, I guess.
I think I just said enough.
All right, I guess we can start closing it out, brother. Either way, how are we going to do this pod? Every 2 weeks, every week?
I want to do it. Yeah, no, we're going to do it every week. It's going to be every week. Because, like I said, man, going back to what I said earlier, it's about balance. And if a person or people can't respect how you try to balance things, you just got to cut things off. So,
very well said, bro. So with that being said, everybody knows now the podcast is back every week. It's going to start dropping every Monday again. So we'll have two podcasts a week now.
Yep.
Mike drop podcast on Mondays, Devin Cox Experience on Thursdays.
And possibly Saturdays. I'm getting ready to bring mine back. The Groove City Boogie Down is getting ready to come back.
That's also an excellent thing. So you're going to have a podcast almost every other day from us.
Yeah, because it's all going to go up through the mic drop. Because I don't really have time to sit here and try to create another separate lane. It's like we already got all of this going all together, so it's like, boom, just more food in the kitchen.
Definitely. Also, the website is up, devincoxexperience.com. Check that out, definitely. It's a lot of cool articles on there. We got my man Rusty writing for the site. I'm putting up articles. I'm still checking out some of the stuff on there now. There's a lot of cool stuff on there. Please check it out. You can also find a podcast link there too, the SoundCloud for the podcast. So you can definitely go on there and get that. Any final thoughts, my man Vision?
No, man. It's just good to be back.
Definitely. Well said, man. With that being said, Mic Drop Podcast, and we are out.
Peace.